You know that specific kind of dread you get when you're standing in line at the pharmacy?
Oh, yeah, the register dread.
Exactly. You're watching the person in front of you pick up a prescription. Maybe it's for something serious, like a chronic condition. And you see the total ring up on the register. And it is just a staggering number.
It really is.
And you just stand there thinking, how on earth is this sustainable?
It's a completely universal anxiety. I mean, it's right up there with housing prices and grocery bills right now.
It is.
Yeah.
And it feeds directly into this headline that seems to just play on an endless loop in our news cycle.
Yeah.
This idea that our healthcare system is teetering on the edge of a cliff and the villain pushing it off is the skyrocketing cost of new high-tech patented drugs.
Right. The narrative that big pharma is charging exorbitant prices.
Yeah, and that the government is just helpless to stop it. And if we don't slash those prices immediately, the whole public health model basically collapses.
That is absolutely the prevailing orthodoxy. I mean, it's the baseline assumption for almost every policy debate we have about healthcare in this country. The idea is always that drug prices are the leak that's sinking the ship.
Well, today we are going on a mission to stress test that exact assumption.
I love a good stress test.
We are taking a really hard look at the actual numbers from late 2025. We've got a deep dive today into a paper that, frankly, takes a sledgehammer to that entire narrative.
It really does. It strongly suggests we might be diagnosing the problem completely backwards.
So, introduce our guide for today. What exactly are we looking at?
We are digging into a fascinating paper published in the Canadian Health Policy Journal. This is from December 2025 by Brett J. Skinner. And the title is a bit of a mouthful, I'll warn you.
Lay it on me.
It's called Net Direct Expenditure on Patented Medicines by Public Drug Plans in 10 Canadian Provinces in 2023.
Okay, yeah, it sounds a little dry, I'll give you
A
that.
bit, yeah.
But the implications of this are explosive. Skinner essentially audited the books for every province to find out what the public system actually pays for these high-tech drugs versus what everyone thinks they pay.
Exactly. He's going past the press releases and looking for the actual receipts.
And just to give you, the listener, the roadmap here, we're going to find out that the thing everyone thinks is breaking the bank might actually be a rounding error.
A very small rounding error.
And this is a part that I'm honestly still wrapping my head around. We're going to look at hard evidence suggesting that spending more on these expensive drugs might actually be the secret to saving the system billions.
It sounds totally counterintuitive, right? It's the classic spend money to save money paradox.
Right.
But the accounting really does back it up.
Okay, but before we get to the paradox, we have to understand the machine. If the central argument is that drug prices are too high, how are we currently trying to control them? Because it's not like a pharmaceutical company can just, slap a price tag on a box and sell it to the government, right?
Oh, far from it. It's incredibly regulated. Skinner outlines what he calls a complex price control apparatus. You have to think of it less like a free market and more like a labyrinth or a gauntlet.
Okay, walk us through the maze. Let's say I invent a brand new biologic drug. It cures a disease. What happens next?
First, you have to go through Health Canada. That's your table stakes. They check if the drug is safe and effective. If the answer is yes, you get a notice of compliance. But that doesn't mean you get PID. That just means it's legal to sell it in the country without getting arrested.
Right, so step one is basically just don't poison anyone. Step two is figuring out how to get paid.
Exactly. Then you enter the pricing gauntlet. First up is the PMPRB,
Which stands for.
the Patented Medicine Prices Review Board. This is a federal quasi-judicial body. Their sole mandate is to ensure the factory gate list price isn't excessive.
Factory gate, meaning the sticker price.
Right. They look at what you're charging in other comparable countries and they set a hard ceiling. You cannot charge more than that.
Okay, so that caps the sticker price. No price gouging allowed. Seems reasonable so far.
Roughly, yes. But the provinces don't just pay that capped price and call it a day. Next, you have the HTA.
More acronyms.
Always. Health Technology Assessment. In Canada, outside of Quebec, that's usually Canada's drug agency or the CDA.
And what do they do?
Well, they aren't asking if the drug is safe. Health Canada already did that. They're asking, is it worth it? They run these massive economic models to see if the drug offers enough value for the money compared to whatever treatments we already have.
So even if the Federal Review Board says, hey, this price is legally fine, the drug agency can step in and say, yeah, but it's a bad deal for the taxpayer, so we don't recommend covering it.
Exactly. They can hand down a hard no. And if you somehow survive that review, you go to the PCPA.
Let me guess, another board.
The Pan-Canadian Pharmaceutical Alliance. This is a negotiating bloc. The public plans all band together to use their bulk buying power. They negotiate a confidential price with the manufacturer.
Man, that is a lot of gatekeepers. It's like a regulatory lasagna.
That is a great way to put it.
And the justification for this entire bureaucracy is that without it, costs would just spiral totally out of control.
That's the official government position, yeah. They argue this multi-layered defense system is literally the only barrier against fiscal ruin. But, and this is where Skinner's detective work gets so interesting, he points out that the public data we all use to debate drug spending is fundamentally flawed.
Because it relies on those initial list prices.
Precisely. It relies on the sticker price. It's like judging the cost of buying a car based solely on what's painted on the windshield, assuming nobody ever negotiates a better deal at the dealership.
Which everyone does.
Exactly. The review board reports on list prices, but the government actually pays net prices. And those net prices include massive secret rebates.
Secret rebates? I assume the government doesn't publish those because they don't want other countries to know how good a deal they got. Like, they don't want to ruin the curve for everyone else.
That's a big part of it. Plus, commercial confidentiality for the drug manufacturers. It allows the companies to maintain a higher global public price while secretly giving Canada a discount.
Win-win for them, but a nightmare for researchers.
A total nightmare. Skinner wanted to know the real cost to the taxpayer, but the real cost is essentially treated like a state secret.
So how did he crack the code? Because he did get the numbers.
He built a model. He started with the review board's annual reports for 2022 and 2023, just to get the baseline gross spending, the sticker price spending. But then he found what amounts to a Rosetta Stone in the Ontario Auditor General's report.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, the AG actually had access to the real books, the confidential agreements, and they published aggregate data that allowed Skinner to finally calculate the average rebate percentage.
Okay, let's drill down on this right now, because this is the first really big number we need to focus on today. How big of a discount is the government getting behind closed doors?
It is absolutely massive. Based on that Ontario data, the estimated rebate is roughly 48.1% off the gross cost.
Wait, 48%? That's basically half price.
Almost exactly half off.
That changes the entire conversation right out of the gate. If the headlines are screaming, new drug costs $100 million, the reality is the government only actually wrote a check for about $52 million.
Correct. And that discrepancy is exactly where the public perception gets so warped. We are out here debating policy, voting on leaders, and just getting generally anxious based on sticker prices that absolutely no one is actually paying.
Okay, so Skinner takes this 48% rebate. He applies it to the provincial data. He strips out things like dispensing fees, right?
Right, because those go to the pharmacist, not the drug maker.
Right, and he removes the copays that the patients pay out of pocket. So what is the bottom line? In 2023, what was the actual net cost to the public system for these scary, expensive, patented medicines?
Across all 10 provinces, the average net direct expenditure per capita was $68.
Hold on. $68 per person.
Per person.
For the entire year.
$68 a year. And that includes everything from the latest cutting-edge biologics to your standard patented prescriptions.
That seems impossibly low. I mean, my monthly cell phone bill is a lot more than that.
It is low. And to put it into proper perspective, Skinner compares it to the total public healthcare bill. If you add up the hospitals, the doctors, the diagnostics, the administration, everything the government pays for, the average public healthcare expenditure in Canada was $6,713 per capita.
Okay, let me do some quick mental math here. $68 out of 6,700.
It is exactly 1.0%.
1%.
1%. The villain of our story, the supposed primary driver of our fiscal healthcare crisis, accounts for one single penny out of every healthcare dollar spent.
That is genuinely shocking. We have federal boards, national alliances, an entire cottage industry of consultants and lobbyists fighting tooth and nail over this number, and it's 1% of the budget.
It highlights a really massive disconnect in our priorities. And when you look at the provincial breakdown, it's fairly consistent across the board. The lowest spenders were Alberta, BC, Newfoundland, and Labrador, and PEI. Their drug spend was just 0.7% of their total budget.
0.7.
Yeah.
And who was the highest?
Ontario. They were at 1.9%.
So even the so-called big spender is still under 2%.
Yeah.
It really makes you wonder why all the political capital is spent here. It feels like we're obsessing over the cost of the coffee beans while the restaurant is burning down.
That's a very apt analogy. And actually, speaking of the burning restaurant, this is exactly where Skinner's paper pivots from just being an accounting correction to offering some deep economic insight. He didn't just look at the drug costs in isolation. He compared the drug spending to the total healthcare spending in each province.
Ah, this is the Ontario paradox you mentioned in our notes before we started. Let's unpack this. You said Ontario spent the most on drugs, right?
Yes. Ontario had the highest per capita spend on patented medicines at $105. And as a percentage of their budget, like we said, it was the highest at 1.9%.
So basic logic would dictate that Ontario should have the most expensive healthcare system overall, right? If you buy the premium package, your final bill should be higher.
You would certainly think so. But the data shows the exact opposite. Ontario had the lowest overall public healthcare costs in the entire country.
Really?
Yes. Just $5,665 per capita.
Wait, highest drug spend, but the lowest total spend.
Correct. Now flip it around. Look at Newfoundland and Labrador. They were incredibly frugal with their drug spending. They spent only $58 per capita. That's nearly half of what Ontario spent.
So they saved about $50 a person on pills. Did that translate to savings overall for the province?
Not even close. Newfoundland and Labrador had the highest overall healthcare costs in the country. $8,171 per capita. That is nearly $2,500 more per person than Ontario.
That is a staggering gap. You save $50 on drugs just to spend $2,500 more on what? Hospitals?
Doctors.
Exactly. Mostly hospital care. This is what health economists call the offset effect. Skinner actually cites a 2025 study by an economist named Lichtenberg that supports this heavily. The basic premise is simple. Pharmaceuticals are a substitute for more labor-intensive, capital-intensive medical care.
Right. It's technology replacing manual labor, essentially.
Think of it this way. If a patient has a chronic heart condition, you basically have two paths. Path A is you prescribe a new, patented medication that manages the condition safely at home. It costs money, let's say that $105 a year.
Okay.
Path B is restricting that medication because the government wants to save money. The patient's condition worsens, they suffer a severe cardiac event, and they end up in the ICU for 2 weeks, followed by a complex surgery.
And one single day in the ICU probably costs more than 10 or 20 years of that medication. Precisely. By restricting access to the $68 a year drugs, provinces aren't actually saving money. They are simply shifting the cost from the pharmacy ledger over to the hospital ledger. And the hospital ledger is vastly more expensive.
It's preventative maintenance. If you don't change the oil in your car because you think oil is too expensive, you inevitably end up buying a whole new engine.
And Skinner's data strongly suggests that provinces like Newfoundland are essentially blowing up their engines just to save a few bucks on oil. He found a direct measurable correlation. Provinces that list more new drugs on their public formularies tend to have lower overall healthcare utilization.
This completely reframes the whole sustainability argument. If the actual goal is to keep the healthcare system sustainable, we should be looking at the final bottom line, not just the single line item for the drug budget.
Exactly. And Skinner actually quantifies what that missed opportunity looks like in real dollars. He calls it the $21 billion opportunity.
Okay, I like the sound of that. How exactly do we get to $21 billion?
He ran a fascinating hypothetical scenario. He asked, what if the other nine provinces stopped being so stingy with their drug coverage? What if they increased their spending on patented medicines just to match Ontario's level of access?
Okay, so first, what's the upfront cost of that? How much would it cost the other provinces to level up and match Ontario?
Surprisingly little, because you have to remember the base number is already so low. To match Ontario's $105 per capita, the total combined cost for all the other nine provinces would be about $918 million.
Wait, less than $1 billion,
yeah,
spread across nine entire provinces?
Yes. For most of these provincial budgets, that's literally a rounding error. It represents an increase of roughly 0.2% to 0.9% of their total healthcare spend.
So for a sub-billion-dollar investment across the entire country, we could drastically improve patient access to new medications.
Yes.
And what is the calculated payoff for doing that?
The payoff comes from that offset effect we talked about. Skinner calculated the potentially avoidable costs. If those other provinces could achieve Ontario's overall system efficiency, presumably by keeping people healthier with drugs and keeping them out of hospital beds, the Canadian system could have saved $21.3 billion in 2023 alone.
Hold on. invest $900 million to save $21 billion. That's what is that? A 20-to-1 return on investment.
It's an ROI that would make a Silicon Valley venture capitalist faint.
Let's look at a specific example to ground this. What about Quebec? They have a huge population and their own very distinct system.
So if Quebec matched Ontario's model, Skinner estimates they could have avoided $6.7 billion in excess healthcare costs.
Wow. And what about Newfoundland? You said they had the absolute highest costs.
This is probably the most dramatic statistic in the entire paper. For Newfoundland and Labrador, the avoidable cost, meaning the money they're overspending on hospitals compared to the Ontario benchmark, represented an astonishing 30.7% of their total healthcare expenditure.
You're saying they could potentially chop a third off their total healthcare bill?
Theoretically, yes. If they shifted their strategy away from restricting drugs and started utilizing them as actual tools for system efficiency.
That is absolutely wild. It really feels like we are quite literally stepping over dollars to pick up dimes. We squeeze the poor drug budget manager to save a few million, and meanwhile, billions of dollars are just flying out the window in the hospital wing.
Stepping over dollars to pick up dimes is the perfect visualization for this. And it brings us right back to how incentives work in a bureaucracy. The drug budget manager gets a gold star and a promotion for keeping pharmaceutical spending low. But the hospital budget manager down the hall pays the price.
Right, because they operate in total silos. The left hand isn't talking to the right hand.
Exactly. Skinner's conclusion in the paper is very blunt. He states clearly that squeezing public expenditure on patented medicines is short-sighted and counterproductive policy.
Because you're cutting the one specific thing that actually keeps people out of the wildly extensive parts of the system.
The data implies that pharmaceuticals shouldn't be viewed as a liability to be managed. They need to be viewed as a strategic asset. They are a form of technology that reduces the overall labor intensity of healthcare.
It's like, imagine if a big company refused to buy computers for its staff because laptops are expensive. So instead, they hired 1,000 extra people to do all the math with pencil and paper.
That's a great analogy. The drug is the computer. It automates the healing process. It handles the problem efficiently at home, so you don't need the massive, incredibly expensive infrastructure of the hospital to keep the person alive.
So we've really gone from a story about a crisis of high prices to a story about a massive crisis of missed opportunity. We started this deep dive thinking patented drugs were bankrupting us.
And we found out they're actually only 1% of the bill.
And we thought strictly controlling access to them was saving the taxpayer money.
But the hard evidence suggests that restriction might actually be costing us billions in preventable hospitalizations and surgeries.
It really flips the script. It makes you realize just how incredibly important it is to look at the net numbers, not just the flashy list prices, and to look at the total system, not just one isolated department.
Critical thinking is so essential here. When you see a news headline tomorrow about spiraling drug costs, you now have the tools to ask, okay, but what are the secret rebates and what is the offset effect on the hospitals?
Context is king.
It always is. Skinner's work really challenges our policymakers to zoom out. If we actually want a sustainable system, we need to stop optimizing for the budget of a single line item and start optimizing for the health of the patient.
That's a really powerful place to land. And it leaves you, the listener, with a pretty provocative question to chew on. We spend so much political energy debating drug prices. I mean, it's a huge election issue every single cycle. But if the data clearly shows that spending more on drugs actually saves money on hospitals, why does the political narrative focus so heavily on price controls? Are we designing a healthcare system that just looks good on a bureaucrat's spreadsheet? Or are we designing one that actually works for the people paying for it?
It's a question that every single taxpayer should be asking their representatives.
Thanks for joining us on this deep dive. Hopefully, the next time you're standing at that pharmacy counter, you'll look at that receipt a little differently.
Always look for the bigger picture.
See you next time.